Good morning, Church. So, John chapter 13 and verses 36 to 38. Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I am going, you cannot follow, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Second reading is from John chapter 18, verses 15 to 27. Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. Because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest's courtyard. But Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, came back, spoke to the servant girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. "You aren't one of this man's disciples too, are you?" she asked Peter. He replied, "I am not." It was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. Meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. "I have spoken openly to the world," Jesus replied. "I always taught in synagogues or at the temple, where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said." When Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby slapped him in the face. "Is this the way you answer the high priest?" he demanded. "If I said something wrong," Jesus replied, "testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks, Louise, for reading that passage. Please keep those two readings open in front of you. We're going to spend some time looking at those two passages. For that, allow me to lead us in a word of prayer. Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we give you great thanks for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity for us to sing praises of you, and Lord, to remind ourselves, as Ed said earlier, that it was finished upon that cross. And that is why we are here. And we want to learn. We want to learn to live the way you want us to live. So we pray this morning, guide us through your Holy Spirit and use this time to shape us into the likeness and image of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, did you know that harp seals, they do a terrible thing? There's a picture that will come up on the screen. The mums leave their pups 12 days after they were born. For 12 days, they feed and protect and do everything for the little ones. And in fact, the mothers don't even eat for 12 days. But then after that, they leave the pups in the ice and disappear. They abandon, and the pups can't swim yet. They can't find the food for themselves. So apparently 30% of these little ones die of starvation because their mothers have disowned them, abandoned them. And it's terrible, isn't it? They're so cute. How would you abandon a little seal like that? That's what we hear today in our reading, don't we? We hear about Peter, one of Jesus' close disciples, one who has devoted himself for 3 years, spent time with Jesus for 3 years, disowns Jesus, and he denies Jesus, his only hope. Come with me to John chapter 13, verses 36 to 38. And in these verses, Jesus breaks the bad news, doesn't he? He breaks the bad news. From the beginning, if you were following us a couple of weeks ago, chapter 13, we began this sermon series. Jesus has been thinking about going away. John had been saying Jesus knew that he was going to go away. If you read John chapter 13 verse 1, we're told that he's going to go away. And in last week we heard that Judas, one of his disciples close to him, was going to betray him. There is the sense that Jesus is going to leave, is going to be separated from his friends, and he's going to leave them soon. If you look at verse 33, Jesus says, I will be with you only for a little while. You will look for me, and just as I have told the Jews, I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. Come down to verse 36. Jesus repeats the same thing, doesn't he? Where I am going, you cannot come. Now, where was Jesus going? Where was Jesus going? Chapter 13, verse 1 and verse 3, we already said Jesus had already told us, John has already told us that the hour has come for Jesus to leave this world and return to the Father. He's going back to God. And just a bit later, if you kind of glance to chapter 14, verse 2, Jesus says he's going to prepare a place for us in his Father's house. In other words, friends, Jesus was going to the presence of God the Father. The God who is all-powerful, all-loving, all-knowing, all-just and righteous, sovereign God. The bad news is not that Jesus is going to leave these disciples and go. The bad news is that they cannot go to where Jesus is going. And if you think about it, this is the bad news of the Bible, isn't it? This is our bad news. We cannot go to God's presence. Now, why can't we go to God's presence? The Apostle Paul explains to the Roman church in this one of his favorite verses, and he says, there is no one righteous. In Romans chapter 4. Not even one. There's no one understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless, corrupt. There's no one who is good, who does good. Not even one. If you remember Romans chapter 1, Paul also says, the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all godlessness and wickedness of people who suppresses the truth by wickedness. Did you hear? Did you see that all of us have sinned? And we are all barred from the presence of God because of sin, and our relationship with God is broken. We have become enemies of God, the Bible says, and we are all in danger of being consumed by the wrath of God, and Jesus is the only person who is able to go into the presence of God. Because he came from God. And although he was like us in every way, the book of Hebrews says, although he was tempted in just the same way as we are tempted, he was sinless. And this is the bad news that Jesus breaks to his disciples. I am going away. I'm going away to my Father's presence, but you cannot come. You cannot follow where I'm going. But then he doesn't stop there, does he? There is the good news. Have a look at verse 36. What does he say? He says, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. It's not never. You cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Please, Peter cannot go to where Jesus is going right now. He doesn't have access to God's presence right now, but soon he will be able to. Why? How are we able to go into God's presence? Because between now and later, Jesus is going to do something that will enable Peter and us to be in God's presence. We all know for Jesus, the way to God's presence, the way to his Father was through the cross. In a matter of a few hours from now, Jesus would die on a cross. And on that cross, he became our substitute. He took our place. He died in our place. And on that cross, he paid the penalty that we should have paid for our sins. He paid our ransom to redeem us from slavery to sin. And he covered us from all our sins. And he declares us righteous and holy. He reconciles us back to the Father. You see, he opened the way for us to the Father. And to show that the way is open, if you remember the passion narratives of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 27 says, on that evening when Jesus breathed his last breath on the cross, when he said, it is finished, what happened? The curtain at the temple which separated the people from going into the Holy of Holies, going into the presence of God, was torn from top to bottom. Now the way God's presence is open. What does Jesus ask us to do? Not to die on a cross. The only thing he asks us to do is to believe that his death has done everything to make it possible for us to go to the presence of God. And now to those who have trusted in Jesus, Hebrews chapter 4 says, we have been given access to the throne room of God to go with confidence. And those who have trusted in Jesus are now called the children of God. 1 Peter says, we are the people of God, a holy nation, his treasured possession. We have been made heirs and joint heirs with Christ. We have been given eternal inheritance in the kingdom of God. What a privilege that Jesus has given us. But before you and I go, he must go. And Jesus indeed has gone before us, hasn't he? And now he invites us to trust in him so we can be where he is. And Jesus says a little bit later in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is the only hope for Peter to go to the presence of God. But then we come to the main subject of our sermon today, isn't it? The main problem. Because we do what Peter did. We deny, we disown Jesus, don't we? We disown our only hope. We reject Jesus. Now, how do we disown Jesus? The first way we disown Jesus is when we refuse to trust in his death for us. Now, I don't know whether you have this experience when you go out to have a meal with your friends, but when we go with our friends after the meal, when we go to the cashier, there is this big fight. Everyone is throwing cards and their credit cards and debit cards and MasterCards and Visa cards, and somebody is throwing cash because everyone wants to pay the bill. I guess that's what Peter is trying to do here, isn't he, in these verses. Jesus says, well, you can't follow me now. But you will later. Jesus says, I will pay the bill for you. But verse 37, Peter says, no, Jesus, get out of my way. I will pay my bill and I'll pay your bill as well. Why can't I follow now? I will lay down my life for you, Jesus. See, he refuses to allow Jesus to die. He doesn't see the need for Jesus to die. Now, don't get me wrong. Peter was a sincere man. He loved Jesus. He loved Jesus. He was devoted to Jesus. He couldn't entertain the thought of losing or something bad happening to Jesus. He wanted to do something for Jesus, and he wants to save Jesus the trouble. The least he could do for Jesus is to lay down his life for Jesus. He wanted somehow to stop Jesus from dying. Now, that's sometimes we feel like doing, don't we? Well, we may not want to die on a cross, but we sure want to do our bit to stop Jesus from dying for us, don't we? Because without trusting Jesus, when we look to be religious, when we try to be a good person or give to charity, when we go to church regularly, or when we try to obey the Ten Commandments as the best as we can, we somehow stop Jesus from dying for us, don't we? We refuse to trust Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. We disown the only hope, the only way that we can be in God's presence. We try to own our own salvation. And when we try to add to what Jesus has already done, we ignore, we disregard, we devalue, we kind of put aside what Jesus has done on the cross. We deny and disown Jesus. And I guess that's what Jesus points to in verse 38. It is impossible for you to die for me, Peter. Because by trying to lay down your life for me, by trying to stop me from dying for you, by not trusting in me or in what I can do, you will disown me. You will reject what I have to offer. And with Peter, we must trust the words of Jesus that he must go first. That Jesus must die in our place. That Jesus is the only way. Jesus is the only one who can pay our bill in full. That only then we can follow him to the presence of God. And if you haven't trusted in Jesus this morning, let me be clear this morning that you cannot save yourselves. It is absolutely impossible to have a relationship with God if you deny, disregard what Jesus has done on that cross. Denying him because, don't deny him, because if you ignore his offer of salvation, there's no one else to save you, no one else to bring you to God's presence. Trust Jesus today. And what you have on the screen is the second way we disown Jesus. We disown Jesus when life gets tough, life gets hard, don't we? Now, Peter was a strong believer. He was, in fact, one of the first disciples to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah. And it was easy for Peter to say that I would lay down my life for you, Jesus, when everything was going well, when he was surrounded by his friends in the comfort of that upper room that night. But we come to chapter 18, verses 15 to 27. When Peter had seen Jesus being betrayed by Jesus, When Peter had seen how Jesus was bound and arrested like a criminal and led to be interrogated. When Peter looks at Jesus and sees, well, Jesus had all this power to do miracles and raise people from the dead, but he's not using those powers in the courtyard of the high priest. When none of his friends are around Peter, when he's under pressure, cold, in stress, fear of his own life, what does he do? He does the exact opposite, doesn't he? He disowns Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. In a moment of doubt, disappointment, and fear, Peter chooses to distance himself from Jesus. Distancing himself from Jesus to the point of denying knowing Jesus at all. As much as we might want to shake our fists at Peter and that kind of shake him, we know we can't, right? I don't know about you, but I know what it is like to have intentions that are good, but the follow-through that falls into pieces. It is easy to trust in Jesus when everything is going well, isn't it? When we are in the church, it is easy to say and sing that we will love Jesus, that we will give our lives to Jesus, we will obey his word, we will never forsake him, we will never leave him, I will obey his commandments till I die. Then there comes times, isn't it? When we know what a good God he is, what good he could do, but he doesn't. When prayers don't get answered the way we want them to be. When life gets messy and too difficult. When there is fear and rejection. When there is hurt by people. When there is sickness and death all around us. Then like Peter, we fail, don't we? We fail to pray. We ignore his word. We may stop coming to church. We may give up living the way Jesus wants us to live. We don't live like a disciple of Jesus. On a Sunday, we may hear a great sermon and you get so fired up and excited, and Monday comes and you struggle to put that to word. You forget what you just heard. We struggle to put our trust in Jesus in a crisis. Perhaps this morning, you might be feeling guilty. I do. As I was preparing this, I felt guilty of denying Jesus or disowning Jesus in my day-to-day life. And that's when we need to hear how Jesus treats when we deny him. How does Jesus treat us when we deny him? Now, did you notice when you glance through these verses in chapter 18, did you notice what Jesus was doing in the middle of Peter denying Jesus? In verses 17 to 18, his first denial, and then verses 25 to 27, his second and third denial. What does Jesus do? Jesus, in the middle, Jesus is faithful, isn't he? He doesn't deny who he is. He remains faithful. He doesn't deny his identity. He doesn't deny why he came. And ultimately, he dies on a cross, because without him, we would be lost. Without him, we would be hopeless. Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 13, if we are faithful, he, Jesus, remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. In Luke's account of the same story, we are told the moment that Judas denied Jesus the third time, the Lord turned and looked at Peter straight. Then Peter remembered the words the Lord had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. The look that passed between Jesus and Peter wasn't one of condemnation. It wasn't a moment where Jesus was going to say, "I told you so." I believe Jesus' eyes were filled with compassion for Peter. The same compassion that he has for you and for me today. A look that invites us to trust him and draw near to him once again. And we see that at the end of the Gospel of John, don't we? Jesus doesn't cast out Peter, who denied him 3 times. No, he invites him back and he reinstates him as one of his disciples. What a gracious, kind God we have, friends. See, the harp seals may abandon their pups. Sometimes you may feel abandoned by your own family and friends. You may be forsaken and disowned by people. Situations may seem like hopeless, but we have a God who promises never to leave us, nor forsake us, never to abandon us. And we must strive to remain faithful to him in every situation. Because in Jesus we have a God who is faithful, powerful, all-wise, all-loving. We don't have to deny him. We don't have to doubt his promises. We don't have to doubt his truth, his power. But we know we all do. And when we do, we must return to him, friends. For he knows our weaknesses. He knows where we fail. And when we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful and just, and he will purify us from all our unrighteousness. He will continue to provide and guide us till the end, because the Bible says, isn't it? What can separate us from the love of God? His love is greater than our disowning of him, and he invites us to come to him and find forgiveness and grace for each day. Let's come near to him this morning. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for inviting us near to you. We thank you for loving us near to you. Father, in our own strength, we are reminded this morning that we cannot come to you without being consumed by you. But we thank you for Jesus, who has gone before us, who has made the for us, who has been the pioneer for us, and made it possible for us to have a relationship with you. And Father, to our shame, we still disown you. We ask forgiveness this morning. We ask help this morning. Lord, in our day-to-day work, in our day-to-day living, that we may ask your help and we may receive your help to live a life that brings honor to you, that live a life that shows that we are owned by Jesus, that we belong to Jesus, that we trust in Jesus. May our words, our actions, our thoughts may give way that we have been with Jesus. And we ask this, Father, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen.